This morning, I want to talk about difference makers in the world today. Last week, we talked about about love and about making a difference in the world. And this week, I wanted to kind of continue that and talk about what that looks like and how we go about that. One of the things that we have to do is be people who love. If we don't love, obviously, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that our life is meaningless and nothing that we accomplish and nothing that we do has any bearing or has any matter or even is worth anything. It's all for nothing if we don't love. And we talked about that love has concern for other people and has, you know, love concerns itself and it's contagious and it's not deterred by circumstances. And so this week I kind of wanted to take that a little bit of a step further and talk about if we're going to make a difference. And we're going to look at John chapter 17 and because I think that we would all agree that of all the lives that have ever been lived in the history of the world, the life of Christ has made a difference. I mean, has the life of Christ made?
I've done this. He said, look, you granted me authority. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. I brought you glory on earth. I mean, we say a lot of things about ourselves as Christians. Can we say, I mean, the word Christian, Christ-like, can we say, God, can we hold our head up and say, I am Christ-like, I brought you glory on earth. Because I've completed the work you gave me to do. Paul said in Acts 20 and 24, all I want to do is complete the work that God has given me to do. If we are a Christian, if we're a Christ-likean, then we have to understand, we have to believe that God, the creator of all that we see and know, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, I am. God has given us individually something to do. We have to, because He gave Christ something to do and we're like Him. Because the apostles, the disciples, had specific work. The Bible is littered. You cannot read one page without finding individual mission when it comes to God's work. So there's a couple of things that I want to clear up. First of all, I'm not talking about our purpose in life. You know, one of the things that is a little disconcerting is I read a book where this guy wrote to 150 world leaders, educated people. I mean smart, brilliant, advanced degrees, thinkers, philosophers, leaders, politicians, kings, princes, princesses. And he asked them, what is the purpose of life? And you know what he got back? 150 different answers. And the reality is that nobody has a clue. Nobody has a clue, but I will tell you this, our purpose is universal. Our purpose in life is universal. Jesus said, I brought glory to you. That's our purpose in life. That's the reason we were made. That is the reason David said that you knew me before I was even born. You knit me together in my mother's womb. The only reason that God has brought us forth from wherever it is that we are before we're born to live on this earth is to glorify Him. That's our purpose. And it's the same for all of us. Howard has the same purpose as Tim, has the same purpose as Lori, who has the same purpose as Don, who has the same purpose as Alan. We all have the same purpose. That's to glorify God, to bring glory to God. However, our mission is individual. Our mission is individual. How do I go about bringing glory to God? And I will tell you this, it is more than an hour on Sunday and the occasional other time that we show up here. It's more than that. Romans chapter 12, 1 and following. Present your bodies, living sacrifices. This is your act of worship. To know what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and purposeful will, His good, pleasing, perfect will. Living sacrifices. Living every day, waking up, breathing, one foot in front of the other. What am I doing to bring glory to God today? If we are not doing that, something needs to change. One of two choices. Either make every day about glorifying God through your specific mission, or stop coming here and calling yourself something that we are not. And I'm saying we, because I'm the preacher, but I'm not perfect. And so if you think that, oh man, he's stepping on my toes today, God's been stepping on mine all week. He's got bigger feet than I do. We have to make a change. Either make it about God or stop saying that we are. So our mission is individual. The next question, what is your mission? What is your mission? What is what you do to bring glory to God? If we went around the room and said, what do you do? Well, you know, we get a lot of answers. Well, I'm a coach. I'm a dentist. I'm a surgeon. I'm a counselor. You know, I'm whatever. What do we do so that at some point we can say to God, I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. You know, Jesus was a carpenter for a living. But I doubt that he was standing in front of an array of tables and chairs and cabinets and carpentry and said, I've completed the work that you gave me to do. I'm not talking about what we do for a living. What is your mission? What is the one thing that you get up in the morning knowing, I am going to do this work in order to bring glory to God? Which brings us to a question. All right, Shane, the one question I have for us this morning. Well, I guess I've asked more than one question, but the only official point in the sermon. How do you discover your mission in life? How do you discover your mission in life? There's a couple of ways that I've come up with that we can do that. We can either do it by speculation, or we can do it by revelation. We can either sit around and guess and wonder and ponder and think, well, I think about this, or I think, and at the end of the day, we're just guessing. We're just thinking about things we like, things that maybe that might need, or whatever. Think, well, this is what I was meant to do, and this is what I think. But at the end of the day, if all we're doing is speculating and asking other people what they think and what I think, we have no clue. We're back where we started from. Just at the end of the day, go have a cup of coffee and maybe. But when God reveals something to us, there is no doubt about it. There is no wondering whether or not. There's no obstacle. Remember last week we talked about love is not deterred by circumstances or obstacles. That if we really love something, it's amazing how we make these associations on whether or when it's not, when it just wasn't God's timing, or when the devil's trying to defeat us. You ever just done a project and it's like, well, I didn't want it to happen. Or maybe I just didn't love him enough to keep after it. I don't know. You know, because there's a time when, remember in the book of Haggai when they were building Hosea, one of those, minor prophet. Anyway, they're building the temple after the second oppression of God's people there. You know, they come out of Persia and they're, you know, Cyrus sets them free. They go back and rebuild, you know, Ezra, Nehemiah type stuff. They start building the temple. You know what happens? Well, they stop. They built the foundation, but I don't know, the materials got too expensive or the work was just hard or maybe the ground, you know, they met obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. I mean, it was impossible. Do you know what they did? They stopped. And they just said, well, it's just not God's timing right now. Really? God doesn't want you to build a temple, because that was the days of the temple. And that was the place where God dwelt. And that's where the ark was. And that's where the holy and the holy of holies. And that's where but it's just not right. It's not the right time. When's the right time? When it's easy? When all the pieces fall into place? You know what would have been simple? You know what wasn't God's timing? Putting a roof on that building yesterday and the day before. Because it was hard. Well, those beams don't line up. This is taking forever. It's real hot. I guess it's not the Lord's timing. Because if it's the Lord's timing, it all falls into place and everything's easy and it goes downhill and it's just like, oh, you can tell, right? No, you know when it's God's timing? It's whenever we'll bow up against any obstacle. And we will fight and we will claw, we will cry, we will bleed, we will live and we will die to get that done. That's when it's God's timing. And until that happens, very little is accomplished. If we want something to take place, I'll spend every last dime I've got to make this happen. Penniless. Well, I guess it was God's will that I die penniless. You know who in Scripture died penniless? You know who the Bible tells us gave their life, gave their savings, their life savings, their wealth, all of that, and died penniless? You know who the Scripture says that about? No one. Because it doesn't matter. It's immaterial. But whatever the cost, whatever we do, when it's revealed by God, when we are sent by God, you know what? 8 years ago, when my family moved here, and I was I was asked, well, do you think the church you work, you think O'Fallon will counter this offer and try to keep you there? I said, they know that it doesn't matter. You remember that, Vic? I said, they know. It doesn't. I felt and feel called, revealed to be here in this place preaching to these people. It wouldn't have mattered we'll buy you a house up in St. Louis. We'll double your salary. We'll get you a car. What kind of car? No. Well, it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't. And I said, it wouldn't matter. Because I feel called. When God reveals something to us, there is no other option. So how do we do that? Look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Ephesians 5 and 17. It starts really in verse 15. Be very careful, not just careful, but be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. How do you define, how do you figure out what are you, so we have to be wise. We have to consult God. We have to know what God's will is. In Philippians chapter 2, he says that it is he who works in us to do and to plan and to will according to his good pleasure. How do we find out what God's mission for us is? If we want to know, he will tell us. If you want to know, and see, you're thinking, well, that doesn't really help me much. I'm sorry. There's no page here that you can turn to and say, you know what, Mark, you're supposed to be doing it. There's no song. There's no hymn that we can sing where it'll say, Craig, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to do this, 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 and this. There's no magic bullet. But we have to know that God specifically has something for each one of us to do. He's gifted us in that direction. He puts opportunity after opportunity in our path because the Bible says that he does. And if we are wise, if we are selfless, if we are Christ-like, we will spend our life completing that mission or trying to find out what it is. And God will let us know. And then we can answer the question, what will be the center of my life? Let me hit it one more time. Maybe not. There should be a white background, but that's my fault. What will be the center of my life? Will it be my job? Will it be my children, their education? Will it be my standing in my community? Will it be my 401k, my retirement? Will it be, what will be the center of my life? Will we continue to speculate about what God wants us to specifically accomplish to glorify Him? Or will we spend time asking, praying, pleading, fasting, laying prostrate before God, saying, God, please show me your glory. Show me what it is. I know I have gifts. I know I have talents. My heart breaks for this. God, please help me to accomplish what you want me to do. And then we'll figure out what it is, what's the center of our life. And we will do that to the glory of God. And we will lift up Christ. And John also says, before he gets to 17, he says, and when Christ is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself. What will be the center of our life? We're going to talk more about being difference makers in the days and weeks to come. We'll talk more about what it means to love God and what it means to figure out, to find out, and to accomplish our mission. And when we do that, remember last week what we sang about, almost song after song after song? What do we sing about, Charlie? You let them. Joy. Joy, joy. Joy. It's all about joy. Charlie worked like a dog on a roof for 2 days. He's forgotten everything he ever did. At one point, he thought he was Eleanor Roosevelt. It was so hot. It was crazy. We thought we were going to call it. But no, we're saying about joy. See, when we know our mission, when we're that close to it, when we are taking one step in front of the other, doing what God has specifically enabled and designed and opportuned us to do, you know what? We will experience more joy in this life than we've ever known. And that's how God writes in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. When we have a mission, not even a cross will keep us from it. Do we want to make a change? There might be any number of changes that need to be made. If you want to make a change, if you want God to be more, I don't know what that amount is, but if you want God to be more, You have an opportunity to be prayed with, to be confess Christ, to be baptized. Whatever your need is, would you let us know as together we stand and sing.